Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You dog, you.
I wasn't expecting that. Nice timing, Nelly. Paul, how are you, other than your stomach?
Not bad, other than my stomach.
Nelly, all's well, I assume, except for the Devils, right?
Yeah. Mets are good.
What? You're Mets a Mets fan?
Yeah, you knew that.
No, I didn't. I knew you were Devils and Tampa Bay Bucks for some reason. Paul? I'm still recovering from yesterday's show. We're not going to start with Jared Jones again, but we may very well fit in Paul Skeens here off the top. How would you like to indulge in a Friday morning six-pack?
Let's do the six-pack. Let's do it.
Nelly, if you're able to scrounge up some in the salad drawer, I think, like Ron, we would like to do that. We'd like to open with a six-pack whenever you're ready. Are you ready?
I'm not giving you 2 seconds to find the soundbite. It's hidden.
This used to happen to me, Paul, and I've mentioned it many times, that when we'd have a party, say at Cortland State, we thought we were out of beer at around 2, 2.30, maybe 6 a.m., and then I had hidden some at the beginning of the night while I was still of my faculties, and then I remembered, and then we'd open the salad drawer, and there were six or seven beers hidden. They were the executive beers, and then we would have a celebration like Ovechkin with the cup. Remember that? just when you thought we ran out of beer, Starkey put them in the salad drawer. It was big. And did you have that?
Were they warm though? No.
They were in the fridge down where you put
lettuce. Okay, you meant like that's good.
Did you live at Point Park?
I did for 2 years, and then I got an apartment in Mount Washington. Actually, I got an apartment in Beltsuver.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you walk to bars from Point Park at night?
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah, we would walk down to San Remo's.
Did you have a fake ID?
Which was like the cool place to be at San Remo's.
Yeah.
And then the other place was this a pizza joint called Jimmy's, which was the other way. I think San Remo's is actually still there. They moved a little bit further down. And then, of course, once I got a good fake ID, sometimes we would go to Froggy's. Remember the old bar Froggy's?
Tom Barrasso sure does. Yes, I think people do remember Froggy's.
So we would do that a lot. There was always the catch the bus going up, what is it, Forbes? I always forget. Is it Forbes that goes to Oakland and Fifth that comes back? Yes.
Yeah.
Get on the bus line there, jump on a bus in Forbes Avenue, go down to Oakland. And, you know, there was always Peter's Pub.
Oh, yeah.
CJ Barney's.
Oh, yes.
Zelda's.
Yeah,
right? Hemingway's Cafe was down there.
Did you need a fake ID or did...
Yeah, it was always really like sort of... Like, it's CJ Barney's, and this is probably why CJ Barney's and Zelda's don't exist anymore. because I kept at CJ Barney's. If you had something that had your, if you had something that resembled an ID,
card.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? The one time I used an ID, a fake ID for an Asian guy.
I used one for Joe Cribbs, the running back for the Bills.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I got in.
I had an Asian. Yeah, it was an Asian guy. It clearly did not look like me. And they let me in. They knew it was nonsense. You know what I mean? Like CJ's and Zelda's were the two places you could go if you didn't have ID or if you had a fake ID. You know, and then you know once we started feeling ourselves a little bit, you know, it was big night out at Chauncey's or Donsey's. You know what I mean? That's what maybe you remember those two places, Chauncey's.
I once ran into Pat Burns, the coach of the Bruins at Chauncey's.
Yeah.
And he was sitting there by himself. We tributes to be at Station Square.
Right.
So I went up to the bar and got a great story from him, the late Pat Burns. It was unbelievable.
One night at Chauncey's, I mean, you'd run into everybody at Chauncey's. You know, like Bobby Brister was a fixture. There was a bunch of these, right? The one day I went there, sat down at the bar, looked next to me, smoking a cigarette. So I was like, hey, can I get a cigarette? So I engaged in conversation with Eric Davis. Remember the center fielder from the Reds?
Yes.
He
was great.
Yes, we were there. He's smoking cigarettes, and I'm smoking. So I'm like, I don't even smoke cigarettes, but this is kind of, you know, it's pretty kind of cool. I'm sitting here talking to Eric Davis, you know?
That is tremendous.
Yes. And then the one night, Dave Justice was in there. And that's when I realized that, like, how hot a guy's wife is has nothing to do with whether or not he's going to have, side activity. Because remember, he was married to Halle Berry.
Yes.
And he had three really attractive young women with him who I'm sure were not his nieces. And then they left together. So I don't know what kind of night he had that night, but it probably speaks volumes as to why those two are not married anymore.
We better get to the six-pack, shouldn't we? Nelly, thank you. The first item of business is Kyle Dubas, I believe, as we speak, is speaking to the media. So, Paul, I'll ask you, if you had one question for the Penguins general manager and you could inject him with truth serum, he couldn't help but tell the truth. Like Jim Carrey in Liar Liar. Remember that movie?
Right, right, right.
What would you ask Kyle Dubas?
Explain in detail why Mike Sullivan is going to continue to be your coach.
I'll build on that one.
And you can build on it with a follow-up.
I'll build on that one. I think the question for him is, Kyle, if it were up to you, would you fire Mike Sullivan?
That's a good question, too.
If it were up to you, would you fire him? We all know that that's not his decision.
It isn't. You're right.
My second question would be, Kyle, may I refer to you as Mr. Analytics? Which analytics told you that Erik Karlsson was going to make your power play better because he made it worse? That's not an opinion. That's an undeniable fact.
Yes.
Your power play was one of the biggest embarrassments in Pittsburgh sports history for the talent that you had. To finish where you did. Somebody told me today, Paul, that in regulation losses this year, regulation losses, the Penguins power play was 8 for 86. Think about that for a second. 8 for 86?
Wow.
And that doesn't include the shorthanded goals they let up. So which analytics, yes, Kyle, told you that Erik Karlsson was the guy who was going to transform your power play? Anyway, we'll listen to him later. This is a disaster.
It is. I think the questions about Sullivan are probably, because if that doesn't change, nothing's going to change. I really believe that.
I tend to agree with you, and that leads us to the second one, maybe down in the salad drawer. We're going to be combing social media. For all I know, this has already happened, but what's the best way to phrase this question? How shocked will you be if Todd Reirden isn't fired by the end of the day, the man in charge of the Penguins power play? I'll be extremely shocked.
Here's the thing. Here's why I won't say by the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, I would assume that they've started to have their end of the season meetings. But if Dubas hasn't met with Sullivan yet, you know, now maybe they're going to meet this afternoon.
Yeah.
And then it'll happen. But if they say, listen, we're just going to take the weekend and, you know, relax a little bit, and then Monday we'll meet, we'll start our postseason meetings with Dubas and Sullivan, all that stuff. Maybe so. I won't say by the end of the day, but I'll say this: if he's still the head coach by Tuesday, or the assistant, you know, whatever they call him, assistant coach by Tuesday, I'd be shocked. And frankly, if we are sitting here on Tuesday in these two seats, and they have the same coaching staff, I got to question what they're doing.
You know what I'm really tired of? So do I, by the way. Is the media defenders of Kyle Dubas in this town. Oh, what was he supposed to do? He's hamstrung. That's a story I read last week. He's hamstrung by all. Then don't come here. Do what you said you were going to do and not take a job. That's what you said at the end of your Toronto tenure. Instead, you come here for $5 million a year, and your job is to make the Penguins better. That's the minimum you can do,
right?
Is make the Penguins better, and they got worse. They got worse. Fewer wins, fewer points, no playoffs, joke of a power play, worse three. Whatever, you can keep going. He made them worse.
Yes.
And it's not because he was launching a rebuild. He tried. Here's the key. He tried very much to make them better. He went out and got Erik Karlsson, and I wouldn't redo that trade because the Penguins got rid of a bunch of bad contracts. But he thought he was going to transform their power play. That's what his analytics told him. He was wrong. He went out and signed Ryan Graves. Wrong. Terrible deal. He invested in Tristan Jarry after meeting with him out in Western Canada. Wrong. Terrible deal. He's done a terrible job.
Yes.
He had some good moves, for sure. Every GM has some. Don't go 0 for 20. So please. Please, with the excuses for Kyle Dubas and the constant reminders of he's in a difficult situation. They all are.
Yes.
They're all in difficult situations. I wouldn't mind being in a situation with a Stanley Cup winning coach and one of the five best players in the world and a healthy Chris Letang and a healthy Erik Karlsson and a healthy Evgeny Malkin. That's not a bad place to start. That's not a bad place to start.
Honestly, Joe.
Oh, Kyle, He's trying to walk between rebuilding and winning a cup. It's really hard. Don't blame him.
Well, again, here's what I'll tell you, Joe. If you take away the fact that in the Karlsson deal, he was able to unload a bunch of garbage contracts. If you took that away, let's say he made the Karlsson deal and it wasn't really, you know, he wasn't really able to offload any of the bad contracts. Let's just say he got Karlsson, but he had to trade a couple of players. What would his body of work be? I mean, I think that's the best thing you can say about him is that he got rid of some bad contracts. And I'll say this. I don't want to say he got ripped, but he got sort of criticized a little bit for the Gensel trade. I got to call that one a win.
Yeah, me too.
Because Michael Bunting was a good player for them. He came in, he did a couple things that they did not have anybody to do. I think he actually, in some ways, gave them a little bit of energy after they got out of their pout bag, you know, 8 to 10 games after they got rid of Gensel, after they got out of their pout bag, all of a sudden they realized, this guy actually can help us win.
Yeah.
So I'll give him credit for the Gensel deal.
But he put them in position where they had to trade Gensel. His job was to make them better. They got worse. Therefore,
right.
Gensel had to go.
Right. But my point is, I think at the time most people gave him a C for the Gensel deal. You know, well, it's a C. He didn't get any of their top five prospects and yada yada yada. I think I probably move that up to a B
for that move. I'll give him a B, but then
right.
I take away a grade because he put them in that position. So a C, and then for his tenure so far, a D minus. He tried to make the Penguins better and made some big bold moves, and they got worse.
But
D minus.
Right. Here's the
put
other.
Put that on your refrigerator. Analyze that.
Yeah. Here's what I'll tell you. I'm glad you brought up the people who say, he's hamstrung. If that's the case, then they should have just kept Hextall here.
Yeah, just bury yourselves with Hextall.
Why go out and get a guy who's supposed to be one of the smartest guys in the league and who's supposed to be really smart at at making moves, and he's really, you know, understands analytics, and he's a new age general manager. Why go out and get that guy if you're not going to let him do his job? And here's the thing. I don't necessarily think that he's as quite a quote unquote hamstrung as some people want to believe.
I was just going to say that.
I mean, how much do you think Fenway Sports is really, really micromanaging what's going on with the Penguins? Oh. If you want to tell me that they're protecting Sullivan, okay, I'll buy that. Beyond that, I have a hard time believing it, because I've heard too many things that Cal Dubas has said that leads me to believe that he really believes in what they're doing there. You know what I mean?
A lot of GMs would like to be hamstrung to the tune of being able to drop $30 million plus on free agents. So hamstrung Kyle Dubas went out and got Lars Eller at 2.4, Noel Achari at 2, Erik Karlsson at 10, Ryan Graves at 4.5, Tristan Jarry at 5.3. That's what Mr. Hamstrung did. Oh, what could he possibly do? I don't know. Go out and sign anybody he wanted? That's basically what he did.
Right.
Yes, Nelly.
Can I throw something out there with Karlsson?
Please.
When he was in Ottawa, he was the guy. He was the top right-handed shot defenseman, and he had a Hall of Fame career or trajectory in Ottawa.
Yeah.
Then he went to San Jose, and he was behind Brent Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as Brent Burns went to Carolina, that's when Erik Karlsson got the 101-point season. So I think with Karlsson, he needs to be the true number one right-handed defenseman that runs everything.
I mean, maybe, but he also hasn't won a playoff game in 5 years. And he was like, I think Josh Yowie quoted as saying, it's been a long time here, 5 damn years. Yeah, I wonder why. Are you part of the answer as to why you never win a playoff game? Next one. That sounds delicious, Kelly, and thank you.
That one sounded good.
Speaking of Jake Guentzel, who we just talked about, our friend Adam Crowley pointed out that Guentzel has sold his house in Pittsburgh to Brian Rust. Is that an indication that Guentzel will definitely not be back here? It seems like one, Paul. Unless he wants to downsize.
It's probably a pretty good indication that, and again, it might be as simple as the Penguins basically told him, listen, you're probably not in our plans going forward. Because I would think that he'd want to come back if he had a shot to come back, right? And, well, here's the thing, though. He probably looks at this situation as well with eyes wide open and says, they're not going to win there for 3 or 4 years. Even if I go back, we're not going to win, you know? And so I might as well go get the most money I can get from wherever I can get it, and hopefully it's a team that is a lot closer to winning a Stanley Cup than that one is.
Well, I heard Malkin and Letang turned over their houses as well, Paul. Ricard Raquel had a clear chance to sell his house, but he shot wide. And the whole team, I think, was very excited to sell their houses, Nelly. But then the Guentzel trade came down, and they all got very sad and didn't have the energy to go through with it, right?
Yes.
This Guentzel crap. How about that?
Would you want
God bless Lars Eller for calling out the whole team, because essentially – symbolically, he said, or sort of in a veiled way, he said, I can't believe that we wilted like we did because we traded a guy from our locker room. That's how I read his quotes yesterday.
And they
didn't recognize our team. People pay money to go watch that team, and they show up and lose to the Capitals 6-0 and admit afterward that they didn't even try.
Well, again, isn't it ridiculous? And I mean this, like, isn't it ridiculous to me that it took them 10 games to recover from that Jake Guentzel trade?
Yeah.
10. And the best part about it is, from the coach on down, for the most part, they basically tried to say that, oh, well, you know, we're professionals. We've got to move on. And even Mike Sullivan said, yeah, you know, this affected them a little bit, but they're pros. They need to,
Are they pros, they're men of outstanding character.
Yes, and all this other stuff. Well, again, they were 2-7-1 starting with that Capitals game in their next 10 games. And really, that's the stretch that is the reason that we're sitting here talking about a team that didn't make the playoffs. So, The outstanding character. Here's what I hate when coaches and when people use that, oh, they've got outstanding character and it came through at the end. It's like, well, okay, well, where was that character in the first, second, and third quarter? when you were getting your brains beat in.
And aren't they, as millionaire professional athletes hired to do a job, supposed to do the job no matter the circumstances? Nelly, another one. We got a lot to get to before Tyler Kennedy. Oh, wow. Aroldis Chapman was suspended two games for that little incident that occurred against the Mets in the eighth inning when he got kicked out. Apparently, Shelty told me on this show the other day that he said something in Spanish to the umpire. Man, what did he say, Paul? Well, what's going on? Yes. A guy gets suspended two games for something that was said?
When I read the whole thing, I said, I don't remember this, you know, going on like it was worthy of a two-game suspension. Did I miss something? Did
Some
you miss
magic it? Words were said. On the other hand, if you watch the preseason video with Chapman, he's pretty much capable of doing or saying anything. So maybe I'm on the side of Major League Baseball with this one.
Right.
God only knows what he said. If you go back and look at that video, Nelly.
But when I read it, it said inappropriate actions.
Yes, exactly.
During Monday's game, and I'm thinking to myself, I watched the entire game.
Did he bump the guy?
I don't recall
know.
Him doing anything way out of the ordinary. Did I miss this whole thing? Were you watching it? I watched the entire game. I can honestly say maybe I was looking away from the TV for 30 seconds and he went ham or whatever. But
maybe he thought he was being squeezed, kind of the opposite of that spring training video.
He was ejected. Nelly. I remember him being ejected.
Yeah, I don't know.
But.
It's
Derek
weird.
Shelton, he evidently said something the umpire did not like. But to put it mildly. Have you ever heard of a suspension for saying something? If he didn't like physically push umpire?
No, I haven't.
That's why I was confused. Okay, he got it. What did he do that he got a suspension?
I don't know. Nelly, next. Thank you, Nelly. You made us wait for that one, and that's why it tastes so good. Paul Skeens last night for the Indianapolis Indians. Maybe we should go watch them. We could do our show live from Indy. 3 1/3 scoreless innings, 100 miles an hour on 34 pitches. Again, may I remind you, he's got so many bullets this year, and he used 34 of them last night. How many pitches did he throw 100 miles an hour? I had that. 34 pitches.
Yeah, exactly.
Got 100 miles an hour plus so that Indianapolis could win a game. So far this year, 12 2/3 innings, 5 hits, no runs, 27 strikeouts, 4 walks. But let's keep him down so he can get used to the 5-day schedule. All right? Maybe he can get his eating in play, right? He can get his game day meals. We want to get that straight. His sleep. The 5-day schedule, he's got to get used to all of that. I guess, call me crazy, I'm most interested in how he throws the baseball and can he get hitters out. I'm sure as a guy who was in the Air Force, as a guy who's 22 years old, as a guy who seems very, very grown up, that he can adjust to a 5-day work schedule.
Right.
I'm guessing he can do that. And you know what else I'm guessing? I'm guessing he can come up here and get major league hitters out. With 100-mile-an-hour fastball.
But, Joe, what's hilarious to me is that everybody knew. We all knew and we all said it's useless almost to send him to the minors because he's going to blow away minor league hitters. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything he's done, is there anything that's surprising to you? When a guy's got his stuff, they're going to probably dominate minor league hitters. It's just the way it is.
How many pitches did he throw?
60-something.
Okay. So all you need to know, to put this all into a nutshell, Nelly, is that there's a guy in the majors who had an historically epic start who's throwing pitches, 50-some pitches, and the number one overall pick is throwing more than that, but he's throwing them in the minors. What the hell is going on?
That's the thing that when I saw how many pitches he threw, so the company line is we've got to get him used to, we've got to build him up, and
the 5-day work schedule.
We've got to get him used to the 5-day work schedule.
Right.
So
It's the soft toss. It's the soft tossing on day three. Yes. There's a big adjustment needed there. Right. The soft tossing on day three needs to be tweaked.
Like I said, I mean, if you're trying to stretch him out, why are you yanking him out after three and a third or whatever, right?
Well, they gave him 10 more pitches, I guess. I don't know.
But you know what I mean?
By the middle of August, he'll have pitched a real game.
Why not just let him pitch?
Yes.
I mean, the point is, I think we all know what's going on here. You know, it's another situation where they're trying to manipulate the service time, which, okay, just kind of say that. But please stop.
Please stop.
Please stop with this thing about
breaking news, Paul. Breaking news. I'm sorry to interrupt. What do you got, Nelly?
I know you're already fired up, but this is from Josh Yowie.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like coaching changes are coming. Dubas didn't say one way or another, to be clear, but he said this season was his responsibility, not that of the coaches. So Todd Reardon may be staying.
All right, then. I haven't written a Saturday column since I've been at the Post-Gazette. I will sit down after this show today and absolutely shred him and them.
Yes.
All right.
Listen, wait. So,
if you want me to read it again, I can.
I have it right in front of me. So, Joe, basically.
That doesn't mean it's true, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, he said basically that he didn't say, well, he said the season was his responsibility, not that of the coaches. It sounds like he's going to allow Mike Sullivan to make these decisions, which means decisions about the coaching staff and apparently some of the players are Fenway Sports and not Cal Dubas. And now the decisions about the coaching staff are Mike Sullivan's and not Cal Dubas. So to your point, what the hell does Cal Dubas do? What is he? Why is he here? You could have kept Hextall here if he's this hamstrung that he can't make decisions.
It sounds like he may be doing Fenway Sports Group's bidding, but I don't know what this will add up to. And I really like Todd Reardon. And I think Todd Reardon's a good hockey coach. But I'm sorry, you are responsible to your job mission, your job description. He runs the power play. These weren't the expansion San Jose Sharks we're talking about. These were the Pittsburgh Penguins who just brought in Erik Karlsson, a Norris Trophy-winning 100-point defenseman who put Chris Letang, another really, really good player, moved him off the power play. And Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Jake Guentzel and Brian Rust. These are the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they had, I think, the second or third worst power play in the league. It got exponentially worse since last season. It was a problem that reared its head early on. They had like 6 power play goals in 24 games. They got off to a horrendous start. The power play, more than anything else, sabotaged their season, and we're just going to stick with the same guys? I mean,
yeah,
this is unfathomable. Well, if true, if this pans out to be the case, it's unfathomable. I would fire Dubas if that's the case. Honest to God, I would.
As I wrote in my column the other day, they've deluded themselves into thinking every single year they're close. We're close. What do we got here?
We got Tyler Kennedy on the line.
Oh, okay. Well, let's get to Tyler Kennedy. I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on this as well.
We'll get to him. Tyler, we'll get to you in a moment. You can gather your thoughts on the fact that the Penguins aren't going to do anything about their broken power play, or maybe the team in general. Tyler Kennedy coming up next. It's Off the Top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. South Hills Kia fan Twitter, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And Edgar and Snyder and Associates, the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Paul, people should call now to win 2 tickets to see the Pirates play the Angels on May 8th at 12:35.
Yes.
With who?
With me. I'll be there. 12:35 with the Angels. It's always a fun time.
How about caller number 4? At 412-928-9370, take in a Pirate game with Mr. Paul Zeiss. All right, NBA play-in.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Things have just gotten to be a little bit crazy here in the NBA as the road to the finals begins. And who knows? Miami made it all the way there from the play-in last year. New customers on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge can go on their own playoff run with $150. Just place any $5 bet. You get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose, to use during the NBA playoffs. Three-pointers made in a game, over-unders, first basket score, and more. I can't wait to see what the Celtics do early on in these playoffs. They're going to put up some ridiculous point totals. Just go to FanDuel.com/Starkey to get started. 21-plus present, Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Stanley Cup champion Tyler Kennedy on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for more than 50 years. Tyler, make a case why Mike Sullivan should remain on as Penguins coach. What's the best case?
He's got two Stanley Cups under his belt. I think that's a big one. The one thing that I think hurts Mike Sullivan, and when I think of the year, the problem was they couldn't figure out their line combinations until it was too late. Like, I loved the way the team was playing the last month. I thought everyone was in their right position in the lineup, you know, and they give young guys an opportunity. They give O'Connor that opportunity up top, and he played great. Again, I thought the line combinations were perfect at the end, but it just took too long to find them. That's one thing I think is going to hurt Mike Sullivan, but I think he is a good coach. I still think he's a good coach. And just, I think they're going to give him to Thanksgiving, I think, and see how he does. But I do think he earned an opportunity to start the year as head coach.
Well, I think one of the things, the two Stanley Cups, my question about that is how many more years can you get out of that when you haven't won a playoff series since 2018? And that's the thing now, and they've missed the playoffs the last 2 years. And that in the NHL, I would imagine he's probably getting into a place where he's in uncharted territory among coaches surviving that kind of stretch of without any kind of playoff success.
Yeah, but is it Mike Sullivan or is the team getting older? They're aging out. Like, that's the tough situation, right? Like, to go on a run and to have the core is not getting any younger. And I don't think that was a problem. But when you add guys like Carlson with big contracts, as much as, you know, a lot of people are blaming Mike Sullivan, and I think someone has to take a fall for their year, sometimes you have to be realistic and realize what kind of team they have. You know, like they've been on top for a long time. They're eventually going to fall, you know, and we're seeing that fall in, you know, where they are in the team, where they are in the league, you know, and you see other teams that we pounded for 10, 15 years, like the Islanders are playing better. You know, Jersey, if they would have had a goalie, they would have made playoffs. They're a young and up and coming team. I just think it's more who he has than his coaching.
Well, the only counter I would say, and I understand that point of view, Tyler, for sure. But no matter how old some of these guys are, they began the season with a power play of a Norris Trophy winning defenseman, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Jake Guentzel, Brian Rust. Chris Letang was on the second unit, for God's sakes. And that power play, let me give you a number here. In their regulation losses, that power play went 8 for 86. They had the power play that an expansion team would have. So whose fault is that? Todd Reardon, Mike Sullivan, players? It's just, it got worse from last year. It was bad last year. Now it was the worst in the league. And I just think it's a fact, not an opinion, that Erik Karlsson made the power play worse.
Yeah, and that, and I agree with that. Like, those are hard stats to swallow, no matter which way you look at it. But when you think of Stanley Cup teams, it's not always the teams that are completely stacked with players. It's the teams that have chemistry in the gel. And that's one thing they never really did all year, that power play, was to gel and find consistency. I just think there's maybe too many high-end talent, too many guys. And I forget, there was a very – oh, it was Jágr. Jágr was the first guy that really kind of brought light to what was wrong with the power play. And Jágr was like, they're just too nice. They have too much respect for each other. You know, and when you think of some power plays that click, it's like two guys that are shooting the puck all the time and the other guys are dishing the puck. There, they just had too many guys – that could be goal scorers, and they were passing too much. And, you know, I really do think someone's going to get probably canned. Might be Reardon, not sure who else. You know, someone's going to have to take the fall because, you know, those stats are, you can't let that happen. Those stats are staggering and very, very disappointing as a fan, as a former player, to have those guys and see those stats, because even if they, you know, if they scored maybe three or four more goals, like, are they in the playoffs? It's a maybe. It's a pretty good maybe. So it sucks that that happened, and, you know, no one can really figure out, because when you think of when they were going over all the power play, yes, it's Todd Reardon, but I've seen coaches really involved in that power play. Like, I think Mike Sullivan sitting in on those power play meetings and putting his two cents in. I think they're getting a lot of help, or Reardon's getting a lot of help or a lot of pressure from other coach, like the coaching staff, to try to fix it, because those the power play really hurt them all year.
Funny you mentioned Jágr. He became the oldest player, I think, since Gordie Howe. Scores in a pro hockey game at age 52. It was a great goal, too, by the way. But I was interested when Jágr came back here for that little break. He seemed very, very interested in sticking around. I would hire him as a power play specialist, like a power play consultant type guy. So I guess it's a two-parter. What do you think of Jágr playing at 52? And then what do you think about him helping there as a consultant to get their power play together?
One, you know, him playing at 52, and him, I did Mario's fantasy camp with Jágr, and his size, like, I never realized how big Jágr was. Like, I've seen Sid, and Sid's got that real big bottom half, but Jager's like 6'2 with that big bottom half, you know, and Jágr's, he looked in great shape still. You can tell he still loved the game, like, he was obsessed with the game, and for him to be part of the organization would be great. I think they would need a guy like that. And I think a guy with his resume could probably talk eye to eye with Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, because he's done it. He's got better stats than all those guys. Like, he's not going to be questioned where maybe some of the guys on the coaching staff are getting questioned because, one, they weren't elite power play guys, you know, and they guys think they can do it a better way or whatever. But when you have a guy with presence like Jágr, like Mario, and they tell you what to do on the power play, doesn't matter how many games you played or how many goals you've scored, you're going to listen a little closer. So that would be, I think, would be a great thing. It's just the problem there. One, he's still friggin' playing, right? And he owns the team, which is like, which is crazy. Like, you know, imagine him going on the ice and the, you know, he's like, oh, power play. You know what, coach? I'm actually going on no matter what because I own the team. I'm writing your checks, you know. But to see him still producing and stuff like that, it's remarkable. But, you know, again, seeing him and seeing the size, seeing the love of the game, it doesn't really surprise me that he still plays.
You were, Tyler, to your credit, one of the people that questioned whether or not Carlson would actually fit here, and you were actually one of the people that said you didn't think it was a great idea to bring him here. Now they're kind of in a situation where what do you do with him? Would you try and trade him? Is it possible to trade him? I know that some of his contract is still being paid by his former team, but I don't know. It never felt like that ever worked.
Yeah, I think, you know, the last 10 games, it looked like the right move. Like, it looked like he kind of found his spot. He was getting pucks through. But for the rest of the year, it just seemed like it was a hard spot for him to find his role. You know, and I know he's always been that guy and, you know, the top guy and the offensive guy. But when you have a guy like Chris Letang, it kind of throws a different dynamic in it, you know. And then when you go back to, like, a team like San Jose, had Brent Burns, who is kind of like a Chris Letang, offensively gifted, very good, like kind of does it all, like a Swiss Army knife. And when Carlson came there, it threw off the dynamic with that defensive core in San Jose because, again, I think you can only have one true offensive guy that is a true leader back there, then everyone kind of fills in. And when you have two, it kind of throws off the dynamic. And they end up trading, literally, they end up trading Burns to Carolina and kind of riding Carlson. And you kind of see how that played out. But, yeah, and when you see his contract and you see the year he had, you're going to have to retain a lot of salary if you trade him. I'm not sure many teams are going to take a chance on maybe Ottawa with the year they had and what they're looking to do and try to change their future because they've been struggling for 5-6 years and they don't look like a team that's up and coming. So maybe they would take a chance. I've heard rumblings that he'd like to go back there, but again, with the year he had, his money situation, I think it's going to be hard to move him.
Coming up on the 50-minute mark here, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. So Kyle Dubas said today, Tyler, that Chris Letang is likely going to have surgery. He didn't identify the injury. Said he's going to get a second opinion on all that ails him, which is significant. He played with it the whole year, Dubas said. It looked to me in the second half for sure like Letang didn't have his usual explosion. You know what I mean? Did he look hurt to you a lot this season?
He still had a pretty good year. Like, it's hard to tell. Like, some, you know, when you get to a certain age, I find those older guys that are veterans really know how to prolong their career by, you know, making the right play, not trying to do too much. I thought Chris Letang kind of did that at the second part of the year. But I still thought Chris Letang played unbelievable. And when you think of Chris Letang and his, one is the way he takes care of himself and all that, like, you know, I have no problem with him getting surgery because I know he's going to come back and be another, have another couple years of being the guy. I'm just wondering what it is.
Yeah.
You know, if it's significant, like, you wonder what it is. Like, you know, again, like, there's only so much. And we think of, like, things that keep guys out of the lineup for a long time. What is it, an ACL? I don't think it would be his knees, all that stuff. Like, I'd be interesting to see what it was. But I remember I went down there and Chris Letang got off the ice early in practice and I just talked to him a little bit. And it wasn't, it must be something that raises awareness or caution, but it's something you can play through, because the next night he was in the lineup, you know what I mean? And he was playing fine. I don't know. Obviously, it's pretty good that they got out early so you can take care of it and you have a lot of time to recuperate from it. But again, I think everyone's starting to play through injuries at this time of year.
Evgeny Malkin had sort of a resurrection in the last, say, month, 6 weeks of the season. He looked like a completely different player than he did early on. How much of that do you think is that he got to play, that Michael Bunting was actually a really good addition for him?
Well, I think it was huge. You know, as soon as he kind of got on Malkin's line, it seemed like Bunting kind of pulled Gino into the battle. You know, sometimes Gino can like kind of float through a game and he was struggling. It seemed like the way Bunting plays, he pulls everyone on his line into that, like, scrums, into the battle, because he's a pest. At the end of the day, like, Bunting is a great pest and a guy we love to have. And with Gino, he's a guy that's going to make Gino play hard every night. And I think that's been that might be the best move of the deadline, is getting him on Gino's line. Even maybe better than keeping Gensel, because they already have Sid playing at an elite level, and I thought Sid's line did well. It was getting those other two lines going, and I think that's what helped them make that late push. It was too late, but that was huge. And I think, you know, I think that really helped Gino's confidence going into the summer, that, hey, I still got it. I still played really, really well. At the end of the day, guys, I think he ended with like 27 goals as a second line center. Like, that's pretty good. Like, he's almost three away from 30. Like, I'd take that at my second line center right now.
Yeah, I wonder about Gino on the power play, though, Tyler. I don't think he had a great year on the power play. And then it seemed to take a long, long time for him to get going, and his defensive work and turnover. I don't know if he ends this season like on the plus side for me. I know the goals were the goal total.
I'd be interested to see what his plus minus was. You know, like, but that's been Gino for a while. You know what I mean? Like, he's always put up points. He's always taken risk, and all high-end players take risks at the line, trying to make something from nothing, really, where guys like me, third, fourth line guys, we get to those lines, like, our leash is a little shorter than a Malkin's, you know, and it's because Malkin's works out a little bit more than mine. But again, when you do that stuff, eventually, you know, eventually you're going to get caught going the other way and get scored on. But again, a lot of people are all over Malkin, and I still think 27 goals is a lot if we know what his plus minus is. But again, like,
plus five,
he's 27 plus five. Like, again, he's still a plus player. Maybe not like, you know, you'd probably like to see your top or your second line center maybe more than a plus five. But again, I'm not complaining about it. And like, I think the big thing for them was like trying to get more goal scorers, you know, trying to get guys to produce more. And like, when you see him, like, I think we were all hard on Jeff Carter. Jeff Carter ended the season with like 9-10 goals. Like, that's pretty good as your fourth line center, no?
Yeah, I thought he had a better year for sure.
Yeah, like, I thought Jeff Carter played, this was his best year in Pittsburgh. You know, and he's been here for how many years, but this is his best year. I was like, when he was retiring, I'm like, no, dude, you're fighting your game right now in that fourth line. You're doing well. It's like, you know, I think the two guys on his wings struggled. I don't think they helped, you know, like Hawkins or whatever his name is. Like, you know, I don't think he scored. You know, you need guys to pull the rope. You know, you need the fourth line to produce now, especially more now than ever. Like, the game's changing to every, you know, the best teams have all four lines producing, and the Penguins didn't have that.
The Tyler, what if you, obviously there's some contracts that sort of hamper, you know, how much you can do in this off season, but what do you think is the most important thing that they accomplish here? And what would you do with Tristan Jarry, who obviously you've given a pretty decent contract to? What would you do with him?
Well, I think they're going to try to make that, you know, for the last two or three years, you know, strengthen that six, you know, the bottom six. You know, you're losing Jeff Carter, you know, a guy that is a piece of the puzzle for them that scored 10 goals. So I think finding some more strength in the bottom six. Jari and Ned, like, that one's puzzling for me because I don't even know, like, I don't have great confidence in either of those guys, to be honest. It's not like I'm going to next year. Like, our goalies are perfect. They're solid. This is where I want to go in the future with these two guys. I'm not sure what I would do with them. Again, I think there's some question marks. I think Ned probably proved himself as a backup, but not a starter yet.
Tyler, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you for everything you did this season. Maybe we can talk during the playoffs. I hope we can.
Yeah, it's been, yesterday I was like, wow, it just seems so early for the Penguins to be out of playoffs. Like, it's sad. Like, you know how it is, guys. Around Pittsburgh, when the Penguins are in the playoffs, it just feels so nice. And for them not to make it 2 years in a row, like, imagine three, like, we would be on a downswing like crazy. And it wouldn't be good for Pittsburgh hockey. So they need to figure out something to at least get back in the playoffs. We're not talking Stanley Cup stuff here. We're talking, let's get back in the playoffs.
Well, our friend Adam Crowley this morning said he saw where Jake Guentzel was selling his house to Brian Rust. That seems like a bad sign for the idea of Guentzel coming back here, does it not? Unless he's looking somewhere else in town?
Yeah, no. Once you get on that plane out of town, boys, you ain't coming back. I don't know. 10 years later, I knew when I got traded and there wasn't coming back in my career. It just... You go to different places. When you look at what Guentzel's doing in Carolina, he looks pretty happy. They got a pretty friggin' good team. It's probably a lot nicer down there than in Pittsburgh right now. I think he's going to try to sign somewhere like that, a contender. Because coming to the Pits, you know, he knows their track record. They haven't won playoffs in 2 years. Like, the only thing attracting players, I think, right now is the big three, playing with Sid, Malkin, and Letang, you know? That's kind of your sell for Pittsburgh, right? Or you get more playing time. I don't know. But I don't think he's coming back, boys. Like, would it be great? And, like, would he be the solution? I don't think so. You know, like, I think the top six played pretty good through the last 10 games. Can they hold on for a whole year? I don't know. But bringing Jake Guentzel back at maybe 10 plus, that's going to be a tough one, you know.
Well, again, Tyler, thank you for everything. We appreciate it. Well, let's talk during the playoffs. So we'd love that. Thank you.
That was, yeah. Right. Thanks, Tyler. That was a lot of good stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know,
he's been really good. Yeah. He was in studio, I think, with them, or maybe on the television, the camera.
You know what I like about him? I like, I mean, obviously a lot about him, but one of the things I like the most about him, he's a former athlete who played for this team, who's not afraid to give his opinions, and
right.
He doesn't dance around it, you know. Chris Hoke, I think, is like that a lot, too. I mean, where he's not afraid, you know, too, a lot of times you take these former athletes, you put them in the studio, or you put them in these kind of situations,
right.
And they basically, you know, poo-poo around things that they need to be critical of. So I that's what I enjoy the most about him. He doesn't care.
We're finally putting our voices to good use. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon will take place June 6th and 7th as we raise funds for dozens of local volunteer fire departments. We'll broadcast live for over 26 hours from Green Tree VFD. We definitely want you to come out to support this cause. To register your local VFD, go to 937thefan.com. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon, presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union. Brought to you by Firehouse, Red Ale, North Country Brewing, and the National Sprinkler Association. And I'll bet, Paul, you didn't know there was a National Sprinkler Association, did you?
No, I didn't.
Neither did I. You do now, and they're helping out, which we really appreciate. Fan weather to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring's here, so are the deals at Sun Chevy, sunchevy.com. High of 66, scattered showers throughout. We're going to get to everything that Kyle Dubas said today, and he said a lot, from his analysis of Ryan Graves and Erik Karlsson to the coaching staff and whether he's inclined to make any changes to Chris Letang's injury. We'll talk about that But first, we're less than a week away from the NFL draft. Who better to talk about it than Ray Fittipaldo? Next on The Joe Show with Paul Zeiss.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.